Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Welcome back to the Numerologist Podcast. Thank you once again for joining me, Rose, your host. I'm the content manager here at numerologist.com. Now, our guest today is Michelle Newton, but she's better known to her fans as the Aussie Angel Lady. Based in Australia, she's an award-winning best-selling author, a metaphysical teacher, inspirational speaker, healer, and angelic medium, whose aim is to introduce her community to the angelic realm so that they might find comfort, hope, and prosperity. She's also a magical manifester. Her aim is to teach spiritual people to tune into their angels to receive guidance and inspiration so that they can make changes necessary to step into a life of prosperity that will bring them an abundance of health, wealth, and happiness. Now, Michelle had a career spanning 30 years as a registered nurse, and she has worked passionately with her son, who has autism, for the past 30 years to create a miracle. She promotes loving kindness as a natural way of the Earth Angel and encourages Earth Angels to share their love and passions in the world. Now, before we get started, I will just let you know that we had a little bit of a lag in the audio at times, so there are a few pauses in this podcast, but don't worry, we catch up each time. So without further ado, let's meet Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rose. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for asking me.
No worries. Now, one question that I always ask our guests, since we are a numerology podcast, is what is your life path number?
Okay, mine's number 7.
Number 7. Okay, cool. So at this point, I always like to do a little bit of a blurb about what that life path number means, so our listeners who aren't necessarily that life path number and don't know much about it can get a good feel for what that is. So the 7 is actually known as the mystic and the seeker. So if you were born into this number's vibration, you're on a personal journey to find the deepest truth inside this game we call life. Your highest path will need you to hone your skills of perception, opinion, experience, and intuition, and ask you to weave them together to find meaning. So what does that mean for you, Michelle?
Well, I think that pretty much sums my life up, Rose.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah. So it's really, I suppose, it's that long yearning to connect with spirit, developing my intuition, really living on purpose. Like 7 is God's number. Mm-hmm. So it's, it's all about what I do. My business is called AOK, which actually stands for Angels of Kindness. I think that really pretty sums up what I've been doing on this planet for 57 years, is working it all out, learning. And implementing.
Excellent. It's always nice when we can definitely see that our life path number is resonating with us, because sometimes it might be there sort of in the background guiding us, but we don't necessarily understand the true power and meaning of it, I suppose. So yeah. On that note, I mean, you have had a really varied and interesting path that has led you to where you are today. So can you tell me about your journey to becoming the Aussie Angel Lady?
Well, you got all day, Rose.
Well, I had a feeling you were going to say that, because we've had a chat before, and like I said, you've got such a varied life and how it all sort of came to be. So
yeah.
So let's condense it. Don't condense it too much, because I find it really interesting.
Yeah, sure. Well, Rose, I suppose, like, as we said about the, you know, your life's number 7, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Absolutely.
But it is what it is. And if you do follow your path and your destiny, well, you will get there eventually, I hope. I've had a magnificent life. It hasn't been easy, though, I would say that. But I think when you choose a challenging lifetime, you really evolve. You have no choice. If you want to get on track, you've got to really evolve and do what you need to do at that point in your life. So I've always loved angels. I didn't really, and someone pointed that out to me at one time when I actually ran my 40s, when I first started to really look into angels more. I just always had a connection, always loved it. We were brought up, you know, was Catholic, and I loved everything about it. It was home, it felt comfortable, beautiful upbringing. It wasn't, I went, always though, as a young person wanted to be a teacher. And I always tell people to look back when you were a child, what did you actually love or what did you want to do? Because that will be ingrained in your soul and it's there to be ignited. I actually did get into teachers' college, but I was never meant to go. I wasn't meant to be a primary school teacher. That was, you know, back in the day, you became a nurse or a teacher, pretty much were the options when I was a young girl growing up. And I did get into teaching at university level, but it was science teaching and it was secondary school. I would never, ever have passed. I didn't go because there wasn't enough money in the household to support anyone going to university. So the next best option for me was nursing because I loved people and I loved caring for people anyway. So I naturally fell into that. But it's interesting that the universe gave me an opportunity to teach when I was 18. Which didn't fall into place. So it doesn't mean it wasn't meant to be. It just means that I wasn't meant to be a school teacher. So then I did 30 years of nursing, which I absolutely loved. I was very, very good at it. I'll have no qualms in telling you that. I worked my way up. I studied everything in nursing until I became an after-hours manager of a small country hospital, which meant I worked in an emergency department on my own. Emergency department, you know, pretty much as a sole practitioner, managing the whole hospital and so forth. When I was 26, I had my first child, a beautiful little boy, and he was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2. So that really turned my life on its, you know, upside down and on its ears. So I've had an amazing journey with my son, absolutely amazing and very, very blessed journey, I must say. He was the worst autism that you could imagine. He was non-verbal at 5. He pretty much had terrible behaviour because he was non-verbal, broke nearly everything in my home, rah, rah, rah. Anyway, we got on and we always had an amazing connection. And I went on to find very quickly that mainstream medicine wasn't going to do anything for him. So I started studying natural therapies, which I really loved. I found I really loved. And I probably would never have looked at them if it wasn't for him. And we had quite a journey together. But by the time I reached 40, I became very, very tired and very, very exhausted. And I knew it was time for me to start looking for something for myself. But I always had a very strong connection with the angelic realm. When this little boy was, you know, running around with no fear and running in front of semi-trailers and jumping off things and nearly drowning and trying to hang himself, all the rest of it, because he had no fear, I started to work with Archangel Michael. Big time. My connection with him is the strongest, and he always protected him, and I always called my angels in to look after him and to protect him and to keep him safe and to keep me strong, to keep working through it. Eventually, I did a total of 30 years of nursing, but probably around about not long after my 40s, as I said, I got very, very tired, very exhausted. Went and did the first Doreen Virtue course with her in Australia, up in Queensland. And it was for me. It was just for me to rejuvenate my soul. And that's when I really started to connect with the angelic realm and started doing another thing that I always loved as a little girl, which was writing. Most people came back and did angel readings, but I didn't. I came back and started to write because my mother recalls me writing the most amazing stories as a little girl. So I connected with that. Unfortunately, in the last few years of my nursing career, I took on a bacterial infection from a patient in emergency called microplasma pneumonia, which actually nearly killed me, put me in bed for 3 months while my eldest son with autism studied for his HSC, which we called it then, VCE, which is known as now.
Oh, gosh. And, like a challenge.
I laid in bed for 3 months. While I watched him study. So that was amazing. Eventually after that, I was given an opportunity to actually teach as a university lecturer at La Trobe University here in Shepparton, which I took. And so I did become a teacher, Rose. Never meant to be a primary school teacher, but also wasn't meant to be a university lecturer either. But my teaching did start, which was amazing. And I have an amazing story about my nursing when I was unwell. I had started, you know, work in the natural therapies and really strongly connecting through my angels with my writing. And one day in the emergency department, a friend of mine, beautiful earth angel, gorgeous human being, her name's Loretta. She's a district nurse. She was amazing with palliative care. She came in this day and she said to me, "You're coughing again." I go, "Yes." This is after I went to university as a lecturer and then come back again to the same job. And she said to me, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, she said, "Michelle, you can't help enough people here." And then she walked out. So that is, a very profound message from the angels. They used her as a, you know, conduit to get the message across. So she was right. I couldn't help enough people there. But, you know, it's very, very difficult to leave something you love and leave something that you're good at. But if you don't follow your guidance, they will take you out. And that's what happened. I got sick.
Yeah.
Which was also in the part of my destiny as well. Because then I went on like a, you know, 15-year journey to improving my health. Hence now I have a healing center and a salt room which assists with lung conditions like I have dealt with for 15 years. So everything happens for a reason, they do say. So that's pretty much, you know, in the meantime, nursing, studying natural therapies, I started to develop my own little business. I studied kinesiology, crystal healing, all that type of thing. And I actually had my own kinesiology practice for a while that I did from home on the side to my nursing. But after I became unwell, I really had to seriously look at my health. And my health actually took me out of nursing, which is a shame, because if I had followed my guidance 4 years before, I would not have got sick. But it's a very big thing to take a leap of faith, absolutely, you know, on your own small business.
That's so true, because, you know, even if everything's guiding you to a certain path, you end up just doing what you know, what you think you should be doing, and not really following what's in your heart and what's there for you. You're not really seeing what is there. So it's really interesting that you know it took you a little while to actually find your true path.
Yes, well, I really love nursing though. I was very good at it, and it really resonated with my soul, Rose. But as this district nurse said, there was far more for me to do that I could even ever imagine. Imagine.
So that's interesting then as well, because you were on the path to helping people like you wanted to.
Absolutely.
But just not the capacity that you were made to do.
Yeah. And it was a time thing as well. Like I had a huge journey to fulfill with my son. And, you know, nursing was an amazing career for being able to do as much as you could with your children. I could work night duty and get up and go to their school sports or go to their school concert. I didn't miss anything. But, you know, I'm really pleased now that I did take the leap of faith because of what's happened. It's very scary to leave a job you love. It's much easier to leave a job you don't like. Much easier.
That is very true.
Job, you're very good at it, and it brings a good income in. There's a challenge to leave it, especially for something that's new age and, you know, not what most country people would do.
Absolutely. Yes. So how did you do it? What was the catalyst?
Very, very interesting question, Rose. My health was the catalyst. But I had a journey with an old doctor that worked in the hospital. And we worked together for years and years and years. And we didn't always see eye to eye, especially when I first started there. He thought I was a little upstart and I thought he was an old cranky person. We had quite a journey together. And as he got a lot older, his health deteriorated as well. And I used to recall myself, he'd come in and he worked 7 days a week, 24 hours a day he was on call. He was the old-fashioned country doctor. And I knew out of all the doctors that he would back me 100%. And every night he'd come in and he looked frailer and frailer, and I'd say, you've got to stop, you've got to stop, you're going to die. And I used to, I could hear myself saying that to him, and I'd say to him every night, and I never thought anything of it. And he used to go, yes, I know, yes, I know. And I thought, what an awful thing to say. But it wasn't really an awful thing to say, because we had a soul contract, which I didn't know and didn't acknowledge and didn't recognize. And after I had left to be a university lecturer for 6 months and come back, and as soon as I came back to the hospital, my health deteriorated again. And his health was deteriorating as well at the same time. And then all of a sudden, probably about 2 years later, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got a call from one of my girlfriends and fellow nurse to tell me that he had passed away in his sleep. Rose, I never went back. I don't know why. It was just one of those, it was profound. It was like when he passed, I was never going to be a nurse again.
Wow.
And on some level, subconsciously, I knew that, because I used to say, please, you've got to slow down, you've got to slow down. Because my fear was I'd have to leave.
That gives me goosebumps, actually, just listening to that.
Wow. I know. And now he sends me signs. You see, this man was not just a medical doctor, very old-fashioned medical doctor that a lot of people didn't have a lot of time for. But he also had a business degree from Harvard.
Oh, wow.
He was a very, very smart businesswoman, businessman. And now he guides me as a businesswoman.
Wow.
And he sends me a specific sign, which no one else will get, because it's very personal between us. You see, this man used to chew lacquer bands, not chewing gum.
That's interesting.
True story. So now I find rubber bands, lacquer bands, in the most unusual places, sometimes in the figure of eight. They just appear. And if I'm worried about something in business, there I'll look down, there is one for me on my desk or on the floor or on the way to the bank. He's around me.
Wow.
Guiding me in business.
That's really, really cool. I actually really love the individual signs that certain people get. You know, they can, you know, there's not one set sign for everybody. You know, it can be highly personal and highly individualized. So it's really interesting that you have one yourself.
Yes, and it's very much to do with my business. It will appear, and he will just be up there saying, you can do this. I know you can do this. And he'll be sending me guidance too, like a guide.
Wow.
Amazing.
That is amazing. Quite,
if anyone had told me that the day he died, I would never nurse again. I would have said, that is just ridiculous. Yeah. But it, Rose, I can't explain to you. It was like, that was it. I was done.
So then,
no matter what happened, I was done. I was never going back.
So after that happened, what happened after you didn't go back? What was the next step?
The next step was we had a huge shift in our lives. A huge shift, massive. My son, who has autism, he went to university. This is the boy they said would never, ever be able to live on his own or do anything. We worked a miracle, Rose. He is a miracle. He went to university here in Shepparton at La Trobe, where I taught. At the same time, I ended up a university lecturer while he is there studying accounting. Who would have thought? I was teaching senior nursing, and he was there studying accounting. Could you believe that?
Destined to walk alongside each other, I think.
Yes. The man who taught me year 12 maths also ended up there as a university lecturer teaching my son.
Small world.
Oh, my goodness. Anywho, what am I talking about? Going to, what was the question again? Right. Jeffrey went to university. So he did university and he stayed at home, which he needed to. He wasn't quite ready to move out. And he finished his degree. And then he had 3 years of trying to get a job, which was extremely difficult for him because he didn't interview well. When he was under pressure, he couldn't pull information quickly enough. Here's this smart, gorgeous looking man who'd get into an interview and just freeze. So he spent 3 years at home. He did every course imaginable that you can imagine. Don't know whether that's a word, just made up. In everything, computers, everything, just to keep studying at home. He went for numerous jobs with no success. Anyway, long story short, after 3 years, this one day, oh my God, talk about the universe moving you. My husband was made redundant from his long-term job, which he did not see coming in any way, shape or form. My brother got my son a job in Melbourne with a multimillionaire as an accountant with a, like tow trucks and stuff like that, working for him. And our house sold when it wasn't on the market. So the universe said, you need to leave.
Yeah, you didn't really have much choice there, did you?
We had no choice. And we didn't know where we wanted to leave to, Rose. And my husband, because he's my partner, didn't want to go to Melbourne, didn't want to go to Ngambi, which is a place close. Definitely would never in his life gone to Shepparton, but he wanted to go to the beach. And I knew that we didn't have the resources, the money to actually buy anything at the beach, but I humoured him. So we sold everything. And all that we had was my business in the back of our van. And we just went. And we ended up on the beach side in Coffs Harbour for a short time. But it just was too far away from my son, so I wasn't going to last. And I knew that. But we ended up back here in Shepparton. So if you don't follow the advice of the universe, it will just take you around the block, Rose, and bring you back where you're meant to be. So we came back to Shepparton because my mother was here and our family's here. And we moved in with my mother at the age of 50. My goodness, who would have thought? And then the rest all fell into place, Rose. Another long story was, but eventually we ended up, a nobleman stepped in and built my AOK Healing Centre here at Kyala, which is just about 10 minutes out of Shepparton.
Wow.
And the rest of history. And it turns out that this nobleman knew my husband's father, which I knew, but my father died young. And I worked out one day when I was in his office that he loved cricket. And I looked at him and I thought, my goodness, you'd have to be the same age, around the same age as my dad now. And I said to him, did you ever play Bendigo Country Week cricket? And he goes, yes. And I said, did you know Norman Ryan? He goes, yes, that's my father. He goes, oh, my goodness. So he knew both our fathers. So that's a nobleman who'll step in and do something amazing, like build you a large purpose-built healing centre.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yes.
That is incredible. So let's look at more about your work and your business and that kind of thing. So obviously, you know, you work a lot with angels. It's pretty much what your business is founded on. And you share a lot of your angel encounters with our numerologist community. You've yes. obviously had a lot of encounters with your angels, and you were mentioning, you know, how Archangel Michael was with you quite a lot over the past years. Can you share a story with us now?
I've got an amazing story to tell you, Rose. I love to tell stories. It's not about Archangel Michael, though. And as you know, I love to teach people how angels talk to you. It's actually one of my courses about understanding the subtle ways angels do speak to you. And I've got an amazing story to tell you. It's a very simple story, but it is so profound. And it happened on Christmas night this year. As I've told you, I've been married. I've had two amazing sons, and even our dog was a male. But Rose, sometimes I think, oh my goodness, you know, I would have loved a little girl, and my sons don't seem to be in a hurry to find partners and my grandchildren. And sometimes I think, oh, funny, I had a little girl, little granddaughter, you know, I'm old enough to have grandchildren. But the story goes, Christmas night, we're having it at my mum's, who's turned 80 this year, and we've come from, I'm a large family, and I'm the eldest of six. And my two younger sisters are quite a lot younger than me. I think my younger sister's something like 18 years younger than me. And she has two beautiful children, adorable, a little boy and this little girl, Holly, who is five. And I have an amazing connection with this little girl. These little girls come down to my sister, who is really, you wouldn't say, knows anything about spiritual things at all. And she said, she just come down loving unicorns. And my sister said, I just don't get this unicorn thing. I said, that's a... okay, she's just a very old soul. Just go with it. And she does. She encourages it. And from the day she could talk, she wanted a unicorn. Anywho, this little darling on Christmas night, Miss Holly decides, and she's so girly. She sparkles and bling and, you know, ribbons and just such a girly little girl, which I love. She decides to set up a little beauty shop because Santa Claus had bought her a lovely little gift set of nail polish, children's nail polish and makeup and so forth. So everybody was invited to go to the nail parlour. But not only did you go to the nail parlour, you also had a little deep and meaningful with Miss Holly. So it was my turn and she said, honey, Michelle, would you like to have your nails done? I said, I would love to have my nails done. Thanks, Holly. So I sit down. My mother had one of those little white, you know, metal tables with the two white metal chairs. So we sat down there and she had it all done up with all the little bits and bobs. And she's the most oldest soul, this little girl. And she's can be quite serious. And she sits there and I put my nails out. And she says to me, so you want pink, don't you? And I said, I would love pink. And then she goes, and you'd love purple, wouldn't you? And I go, oh, yes, I would love purple, Holly. And she said, and what about green? And I said, oh, well, she goes, what about just a dot? I said, that'd be brilliant. Let's do a dot of green. Now, this little girl knows me. She knows I like pink. She knows I like purple, but she wasn't sure about green with me. Maybe she hadn't seen me wear much green. Very interesting little girl. So she sits down there and she starts to have the do the nails. And I said to her, oh, I'm loving this, Holly. This is just so special. And I said, you know, I always wanted to have a little girl, but I never got one. You know, I've got, you know, I talked about her two older cousins. She goes, hmm. And I said, you know, I haven't even got a little granddaughter yet. Isn't it sad? And she sits back in her chair and she looks at me and she pauses for a moment and she says, it's not sad. And I went, oh, you don't think so? She said, no, because I'm here now. Oh. So I just got slapped by the unicorn. That, Rose, is called golden tongue wisdom. That is the angel speaking through, often a child, to give you a profound message. And the message for me was that I was focusing on lack, which is a poverty mentality. And I was focusing on this lack of this little girl that I, you know, would just love. And the angels were saying, she's right in front of you. She's not missing. Do you see?
Yeah, wow.
How powerful that message was?
Absolutely. That's really interesting.
Tongued wisdom.
Tongued wisdom.
Sometimes it can happen, like you can be thinking of something and you can be walking through the supermarket and you're thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay that gas bill? How am I going to pay that gas bill? And then there'll be two ladies walking along and one lady will say to the other something and they give you the answer to your question in your mind. Usually they don't even realise they've given you a message, number one, and they certainly don't realise the impact of the message that they've given you.
I think you should write a blog about that, Michelle. Golden tongued wisdom. I love that.
I will write a blog about it, Rose. So okay. That's called golden tongue wisdom. Isn't that a beautiful story?
That is beautiful. So numerologist community, make sure you keep an eye out for Michelle's blog about golden.
She says to me after this little profound moment and the nails are nearly done and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, that's profound. I need to listen. The angels have spoken through her. She says to me, and you really want some sparkles on those nails, don't you? And I go, to match my sparkly nail polish? Absolutely. 5-year-old, old soul.
Yeah.
Isn't that gorgeous story?
That is gorgeous. So let's keep on track with the angels side of things.
Yes.
You've obviously built a great business using your spirituality and connection to your angels, but now you're helping others build businesses using theirs. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, it's as I said, I love to teach. I wanted to be a teacher. Look at what I wanted to do when I was a little girl, write stories and teach. So now I'm teaching through my community. I have an Angel Feather Oracle certification course, which is learning how to read cards and work with my oracle card deck. But I've also gone into how angels talk to you. So getting people to understand how the angels are around them, they're getting them guidance every day, just learning how to tune in. And then last year, I actually followed my guidance and I launched a course called the Money Attraction Program. And I've got a closed group called Manifesting Prosperity and Abundance for Spiritual Women, which, you know, I went into the course from there. And that's teaching people how to, spiritual women, how to embrace their prosperity. Because it's not about being in poverty now. It's about being abundant. And abundance and prosperity is health, wealth, and happiness. It's all about those three things. But being a spiritual businesswoman is very difficult for earth angels because we want to help everybody. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to pay your gas bill and your electricity bill and, you know, your graphic designer and all the rest of it. You have to be able to make money. So that's why I launched into the Money Attraction Program. And it's been a brilliant, it was an 8-month course and we just finished last week. It was fantastic. And it gets spiritual women especially to look at their money blocks and to look at how they can create prosperity in their life, doing what they love. That's the most important thing, is to really look at your gifts and your talents and what you love doing. So it's been a great journey with that last year. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Absolutely. That sounds great. We'll put some links to those things in the show notes for this. So I just want to thank you again for coming on the podcast with us. Is there any sort of parting wisdom you want to give to our numerologist community, or something that you want them to carry with them today? Put you on the spot a bit there, sorry.
No, that's okay. I've got a few things I want to say. We have to look at the story of my journey with my son.
Absolutely, yes.
With the work I've done with my angels and by following my guidance, going outside my comfort zone, looking at alternative solutions. Wayne Dyer said the solutions to every problem. You have to go and find them. They won't come to you often. You've got to learn. You've got to study and learn new things. Always believe in the power of the angels and God, and miracles do happen. My son is a miracle. He's 31. He's an accountant. He lives on his own. He drives a fabulous car. He does not drink. He does not smoke. He has a very amazing body. He's very healthy, and he's the most amazing man you'll ever wish to meet. He's a miracle, and I give thanks for that every day, every day. And if it wasn't for my connection with God and the angels, that would not have happened. And if I had believed what everybody told me, that it wasn't possible, he was never going to do anything, he would not be where he is today. You don't believe that. You trust in the miracles that God can send you. I really want to say that it's imperative for spiritual women. I work with mainly women, 95% of women, but the 5% of men that I work with are awesome. Just because sometimes men think angel stuff's a bit girly. Archangel Michael's not girly, Rose.
Not at all.
Far from it.
Yes.
So guys, come and join me on my page. You'll learn a lot. It's imperative now in this age for spiritual people to become businesslike, and especially in business, to be businesslike and to be prosperous. God does not want us to lack and be without. He doesn't. He wants us to be abundant in both health, wealth, and happiness. It's imperative that we learn how to not just become servants. You know, my business is called AOK, which is Angels of Kindness, which is great. It's a beautiful foundation, but that business has to be prosperous. When I first opened the AOK Healing Center, every second day someone would walk in and say, places like this don't survive. And it was true. Back in the day, places like that didn't survive because people that owned them didn't know how to connect with the angels to bring money in, because they were so big on being a servant that they couldn't accept money. There is nothing wrong with that. It's abundant. And the longer my business there, the more it is there to serve people and help people with their health and with connecting with angels or whatever they want to buy in my shop. Everything in my shop is inspirational. It's whether you're buying a little magnet or a cup or a tea towel, there'll be an inspirational message on there. It brings a positive message to the community and people. We're there to bring people hope. And I believe that it will be sustainable, but you have to be businesslike. And you can be businesslike and be spiritual at the same time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yes. So it's a beautiful thing to know that the angels are around you. There's always an easier way to do things too. And if you know how the angels talk to you, you can get your guidance every hour or so without going anywhere. You've got a direct link to heaven that assists you. Oracle cards are a great link to heaven because the angels manipulate the cards. I actually drew a card before we came on here, Rose. Guess what the card was?
Tell me.
It was the apricot angel feather, Angels of Kindness. Angel of Kindness. That's my business. The angels applaud the acts of kindness you perform regularly for others and your thoughtful, caring communication style.
That's so part of my business
is to speak with people, mm-hmm. is to give people hope, is to teach them how to connect with their angels, to make their life easier. Does that make sense?
That just absolutely makes sense. And it's been a really sort of nice episode of this podcast, I think, to listen to your journey and listen to sort of how you've come really, you know, sort of full circle. You know, you did want to be that teacher at the start. You were potentially going to go to primary school teaching, but you've just gone down this path of, you know, you're not ready yet. It's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. Now is the time, if you know what I mean, to embrace that teaching side that sort of has been within you. But you've also had such that caring and nurturing side, you know, throughout your whole life, you know, through your nursing career and sort of nurturing your son to where he is today. So it's been a really sort of nice chat, I think, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will really appreciate, you know, sort of your wisdom.
Thank you, Rose. It's an honour to be here. I really appreciate the invitation, and thank you to everybody who reads my blog on Numerologist. I really appreciate that, and it's just lovely to talk to you, Rose.
No worries. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.